Blog Talk Radio.
All right, all right. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And welcome to tonight's show, which is titled Self-Expressions. And this is the Product Purpose Kingdom Network. And I'd like to thank each and every one of you for joining us for tonight's program. And I am your host, Brother Robert Pop Hudson. And I just want to just thank you for just joining us for tonight and just allowing you into your home for just a short moment. Also, we're simulcasting on Facebook Live, and I'd like to welcome everybody on Facebook Live that is here to, you know, join us tonight. And, you know, hey, real quickly, it's been a long time, and, you know, I'm glad that I get a chance to just, you know, broadcast tonight. And so we're just going to get into it. Tonight's show is titled Retrograde. And I know everybody said, hey, you know, I heard that word before. But what does it mean? You know, what does retrograde mean? And I'm just going to just real quickly just go over and just for those that, you know, just have no idea what it means, we're just going to go ahead and just go over real quickly just a, you know, explanation of what retrograde means. And before we get to the end of tonight's program, you know, we're going to understand, you know, what retrograde means. You know, what does it have to do with you, and what does it have to do with ministry? And, you know, in the end, you know, we're going to, get a good understanding, and also we're going to have fun with it. So, you know, retrograde, you know, basically it's, you know, a term used scientifically by, you know, by scientists, and it's basically explaining something that's happening with different stars and different solar systems and things of that nature. So I'm going to go back to the history of retrograde and how it got introduced to, you know, to us as a mainstream, you know, as a mainstream abstract as far as a word that, you know, we're using. And a word that, you know, we're trying to get an understanding of, like, what does it really mean? So simply put, you know, around 400 years ago or 400 years or more, it was a guy named Aristotle. And Aristotle was, he was a very smart man. He was considered a smart man by a lot of people. And so basically, whatever he said, people believed. And so, you know, basically, you know, what's happening is what's happening right now today, you know, in our time where, you know, something that's posted online or something posted on Facebook, and basically without any proof whatsoever, whatever that person is saying or whatever, they basically, you know, have to say without any kind of scientific proof or nobody proofreading anything or anybody, it's basically what they said is what's true. And so basically Aristotle said, you know, if you have one object that weighs 5 pounds and another object that weighs 1 pound, the object that's 5 pounds basically is going to fall faster than the object that weighs 1 pound at five times the rate that it would normally fall. So, you know, scientifically, no one tested that theory, and no one, you know, disputed anything he had to say about, you know, something he stated as fact. And, you know, not until, you know, probably like I'd say about 150 years later, where it was a guy named Sir Isaac Newton, he came along and he says, hey, object that's in motion tends to stay in motion until it stopped. And so basically, you know, so Isaac Newton did, he actually proved his theory by actually a demonstration of what he was saying. So back in the time where Aristotle, you know, his word was pretty much, it was like whatever he said was law. You know, basically he told people that the planet Earth was the center of the universe. And a lot of people believed that. And until, you know, it was proven otherwise that the sun was actually the center of this, realized that, you know, what they were seeing was, you know, was something different. So it wasn't everything in the galaxy going around the Earth. It was the Earth going around the sun. So basically, to, you know, really shorten things up, so you would probably have heard that, you know, like everyday speak, or like say someone is just explaining something and they say Mercury or Venus is going in retrograde, because those are the two planets that go into retrograde more frequently because they're closer to the sun and they travel the fastest around the sun. So basically an Earth year, 365 days, and Mercury and Venus's Earth years are a lot shorter. So basically, to explain retrograde where you can understand and where you can say, well, I haven't saw it and I haven't felt it. Okay, so retrograde basically is when an object traveling the same direction but overtakes another object. And the best way to describe this is that if you've been on a subway or a train that was traveling in the same direction, and one train is going faster than the other, and the other train starts to overtake the other train, and all of a sudden you start to see the other train. And at some point, it's going to seem that you are traveling at the same rate of speed at the same time. But suddenly you see where that train is starting to trail behind, where you start to see that train, it looks like it's going backwards. But, in reality, and what's actually happening is that your train is actually traveling faster than the train that you're actually seeing. And what really distorts, you know, this, you know, what you're seeing is if you're sitting backwards and you're looking at that train, it looks like that train is going backwards. And so that is a term in Aristotle's time and before Sir Isaac Newton, you know, proved the theory of, you know, fact, you know, like what I'm stating or what I'm saying is the actual fact, because here is the proof. So when they say planets are actually going in retrograde, it means that the planets are not going backwards. They're actually going forward. It's just that whatever particular planet that you're viewing that planet from, it looks like it's going backwards. And that's the actual motion of what retrograde is and how we perceive retrograde as we're looking at it and as, you know, someone is seeing an object traveling backwards. But in reality, that object is moving forward. And, you know, we're just going to still keep it, you know, short and sweet. So let's get back to Aristotle. And, you know, the more that he stated facts, the more everybody thought that was law. And, you know, so whenever we have, you know, a planet going in retrograde, it really means that that planet is going through a rebirth. You know, how do I know this? It's because everybody at a certain point goes through a rebirth. And when we go through a rebirth, this is really where we get a chance to do things over. And so being though that one planet is overtaking another, and, you know, as the term retrograde, that planet is going through a rebirth. So that planet is basically getting a chance to, you know, see us in motion, whereas, you know, we're overtaking that planet. But as we're overtaking that planet, we created a pathway. And so we know that all the planets orbit the sun at a certain path. So basically what we're doing, or the planet that's ahead of the other planet, is basically letting them know that, hey, we're on, like, we'll go back to the analogy of the trains. We're on this track, and you have to stay on this track, the track that you're on, and we're traveling in this direction at this path. You can't travel the path that we are because at some point we may collide. And so when that happens, basically with the built-in way that the planets rotate the sun, stay on their path. They stay on the way that they're supposed to travel. Now, supposedly, and we don't know because, you know, for one, I'm not a scientist. I just state facts that I know for things that are fact. But they said there was another planet that existed between Earth and Mars, and that planet got too close to either the Earth or Mars, and it basically exploded. And that is where, you know, we have the meteorite field between Earth and Mars. What actually happened, we don't know. But what we do know is that God created the Earth and you know, and how they describe it, the heavens. And when he made the earth and heavens, you know, when we go and we look at Genesis and we can go into the very first chapter where, you know, God, you know, created the earth and heavens. You know, God could have just stopped right there and just created the earth and nothing else. So why did he create everything? He created everything because he wanted us to have a roadmap. Basically, you know, he wanted us to understand that he wanted to stay connected with us. He wanted us to know that, you know, hey, I care about you, and you know what? I'm going to give you a roadmap or a GPS. And basically, a roadmap or a GPS is basically a guideline how to get from point A to point B. And, you know, when we do this, you know, actually it just helps us along the way, you know, along the way on our path. And, you know, there's many examples in the Bible where, you know, we were guided through these pathways by looking to the stars and finding our path and our goal. And one of the examples I can use is the three wise men. And you can say, well, how did they have, you know, a guide? Well, if you notice, they were following the star Bethlehem. Bethlehem wasn't actually called the star of Bethlehem. It was called the star of Bethlehem after the fact that Jesus was birthed. And when Jesus was birthed, they knew that, you know, they wanted, you know, be upon the presence of Jesus when he was born, because not only did God give us a roadmap or a GPS, God let us know that he was frustrated with man. God let us know that, you know, there were reasons why things were happening on this planet where he caused total destruction, and he promised us never to do that again. And he kept his promise. And how did he keep his promise? Because he wanted to let us know that, yes, you know, he was frustrated with man, and he knew that man would never get it right and never interpreted him, you know, what he had planned for man. And he just knew that he had to give them a message. And how he did that was he gave them, you know, through different scribes and it took hundreds of years for people to pass this message on until these three wise men grasped the knowledge and the understanding that a Savior was going to be born and that they had to follow the star of Bethlehem to find out where the Savior was going to be born. And now, of course, you know, Jesus had many enemies. And many people trying to interpret, you know, what this meant for him. And only thing they knew was that Jesus was going to be born in Bethlehem, and that they know that he was going to be born at a certain time. And they weren't certain, but the wise men were you know, were very wise, and that's why they were called the wise men. And they knew that at a certain point that Jesus was going to be born, and they actually knew and was able to predict almost the when. So when they got there, you know, they bear gifts, you know, and Jesus was born. And, you know, what was the whole main reason of Jesus being born is because God wanted us to get a chance to do things over again. And, you know, he gave us a chance. He said, hey, you know what? I destroyed the world with flood. I could destroy the world a different way with fire. I could do so many different things. But he's like, God really loved mankind that he knew that he wanted to give us another chance. You know, and when he gave us this other chance, he didn't only want to say, hey, you know, I'm going to bring this in quietly. He said, no, I'm going to let my enemies of me and the ones that love me know what is happening. Because that's the best way, you know, to, you know, and as some businesses, you know, and the way they run things, they say, hey, any kind of advertisement is good advertisement, whether it's bad or good. And, you know, and a lot of people just don't, you know, take that, don't take that notion or that very theory of any advertisement is good. It's good for business. Because some people, you know, some businesses, they only want to hear or they only want, you know, what's out there, you know, good things. But sometimes the bad things that people mention about, you know, particular businesses, sometimes that also attracts people to the business. And that's what, you know, the funny thing about, you know, being in business, you never know what attracts people to your business. You know, sometimes somebody may say something negative, but in the end result, it may be positive. You know, the haters of Jesus was saying, hey, it's going to be a so-called savior. It's going to ruin the whole system that we have here. You know, we have a Roman Empire, and we're collecting taxes. Everybody's making money, and now we're going to have to get all this money and all these taxes to this savior, this so-called savior of mankind. But it was anything but. It was just we're saying. And people at that time were saying, hey, you know what? We hate this system. If we even have to pay these taxes instead of to the Roman Empire, we'd rather pay it to the Savior. But the Savior was actually what he was. He was a Savior. He was a Savior for all mankind. And he was, you know, the King of Kings. And when it was, you know, presented to people as this guy is just going to ruin everything, some people said, hey, you know what? My life is already ruined with what you guys are doing. The system is going on, and that we have to pay homage to the emperor. We have to pay taxes. We have to do this. We have to do that. You know, people were frustrated. And they were saying, hey, you know, who is this Jesus? And then when they started, when he was born and they were, you know, they were trying to kill him, now people were really frustrated with what was going on, because not only was they were looking for Jesus, they were looking for any child born anywhere in that time frame that they really didn't have any clue. So not only were they looking to kill Jesus, they killed innocent babies. You know, and so people were sitting there and they said, okay, now we have to give up our babies, we're paying taxes. It's like, you know, what is going on? It's like, why did we have to go through all this, you know, at the expenses of this called Roman Empire? And, you know, we gave up, you know, children died. Our actual children died because the Roman Empire did not like the Savior coming into the world. And so once this happened, and this has generated quite a buzz. And they were trying to figure out, so where is this Jesus? We went through all this trouble. So now we want to know what Jesus is about. And when they found out the miracles and the things that he was making, they realized, you know, this guy is the actual Savior from the many miracles that he performed. And they said, you know what, if we could, we would love Jesus to overthrow this empire. Well, that wasn't what Jesus' purpose was, but for many people, they had that thought in mind. And not only did people have it in mind, it was his followers and disciples. You know, there were a couple of them that were thinking that way and say, hey, you know, you have enough followers, Jesus. You know, you might want to think about, you know, hey, probably overthrowing this empire here, you know, that's going on, where people are in misery. People are feeling terrible. And Jesus quickly corrected them and said, you know, this is not the path that I'm on. This is not what, you know, I want to do, you know. Just, you know, real quickly, just let everybody know, you know, we're broadcasting live on www.blogtalkradio.com/purposekingdom. Anytime you want to call in, you can call in number 319-527-6091. You can press the number 1, and, you know, whenever, you know, we get a chance, we go ahead and let you in. And you can go ahead and, you can have a conversation. And so, just, you know, getting back to, you know, to my topic, you know, at the time, a lot of people was really seeking out the Savior, and they wanted to know all about Jesus. And that was just the whole beauty about the more, you know, the Roman Empire was bashing, you know, Jesus, and, you know, we don't need any, you know, we don't need another emperor. You know, do you really want the so-called Savior who's going to be taxing you, who's going to be, you know, doing the same things that we're doing? But it may be, and over, you know, the threat they had over people, it may be even worse. You know, once they got the understanding, you know, who Jesus was and what he was about, you know, they changed. You know, there's been times where, you know, our parents would threaten us with certain things. You know, they would say, for instance, my mom would say, you know, just to make sure I had clean clothes on every day, she would say, make sure you wear clean underwear because you may get hit by a car and you might have to go to the hospital. You know, it didn't change my, you know, my perception of, you know, getting up and putting on clean clothes and, or clean underwear in particular. But when she stated it a different way, I thought about it and I said, hey, well, you know, if I'm going to be in a hospital and people are looking at me, I don't want them looking at my underwear and saying, instead of saving my life and saying, hey, look at this, he's got dirty underwear. He's had, you know, he's got the underwear that, you know, he had on the day before or something like that. And, you know, we hear, you know, our parents tell us things day in and day out until, you know, they have to threaten us with a beating or letting us know that, hey, something may go bad or something may go wrong or this could happen or that can happen. And, you know, once we get that notion, then we start to understand, oh, well, you know, maybe we should listen. And that's just, we get that notion that, yeah, we should listen because of the fact that, you know, something was threatened, you know, to us in order for us to, you know, get in line and, you know, act the way our mothers wanted to, you know, to act. You know, and speaking of mothers, I do remember my mother, you know, also telling me, you know, something else. And it wasn't a threat. It was more so like, you know, I hope you understand, you know, what you're doing to me. And what she said to me, and it was kind of funny now that I look at it. And what she said to me, she says, you know, I'm going to curse you, is what she said. And I'm thinking, you know, I'm pretty young, and I'm around 11 or 12. And she says, I'm going to curse you. And I was like, okay, well, you're going to cuss at me? And she says, no, I'm going to curse you. She said, the way you treat me, she says, one day when you have kids, they're going to treat you the same way. And she says, you know, as long as you keep treating me, they're going to treat you the same way or maybe even worse. And, you know, it didn't totally stop me from my behavior, but it slowed me down a great deal because I thought about that. And I was like, wow. I was like, you know, I'm going to have children, and, you know, one day, you know, they're going to act the same way I'm acting or even worse. And I said, you know, wow. And I straightened my act up for, I said, maybe 2 weeks. And then I went, you know, then after thinking about it, I was like, hey, you know what? That's down the line. And you know what? I'll go ahead and see what happens. You know, and you know, maybe, you know, my future may change, you know. And thinking back, you know, my mom was wrong. You know, she was wrong. All my children, you know, turned out to be beautiful. You know, thank God. It was nothing that I did in the past that put that in concrete where they were going to be successful and, you know, solid and basically great human beings. You know, and of course, you know, my wife had a great deal of that, because as far as, you know, raising kids, hey, you know, I'm only qualified at a certain point, you know. And like I said, you know, I just thank God that, you know, my children turned out the way they have turned out. And like I said, you know, when, you know, someone poses that, it's just great, you know. And I'm not going to be the one to say, hey, you know, I go back to mom and say, hey, mom, you know what? Guess what? All those threats that you threatened me with, hey, it didn't come true. But we have, you know, to say to ourselves, you know, I thank God for, you know, for the grace and mercy that he showed me, and, you know, allowing me to be able to, you know, raise kids without that threat of, you know, that curse, that sort of that curse that my mom threw my way. And of course, you know, she didn't mean no great ill will by doing that, but it's something that mothers do if they have, you know, that one last ploy, that one last thing. I'm trying to help my child turn around. Let me just see if I can just put the fear of something in them to turn them around. And, you know, just like, you know, a lot of people, you know, sometimes we need to understand, and we need that reality of a real threat that may happen to us before we turn things around, before, you know, we really, you know, think about things, before things really, really go wrong. And then when we feel as though we don't have that chance to turn things around, you know. And I'm just going to go and just read something for me from Titus 2:3, verses 5. And it says, he saved us not because of righteous things we have done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. And, you know, that really explains everything down the line. And as I read that verse, we can just go, you know, through this a little bit. So it says he saved us not because of righteous things we have done. Yes, it's easy to say, you know, hey, I'm saved now. That, you know, I'm saved now, and, you know, all the stuff I've done has no correspondence of, you know, the person I am now. But let me tell you something. God is looking for, you know, those sinners. He's looking for those sinners because he wants to help them turn things around. If you want, he wants them to get that chance at a rebirth where they have that renewal, where they feel as though everything, and you know, he lets them know everything that I've done before, until I just say, hey, I'm turning my life over. You know, he can say, hey, you are a brand new person. The stuff you did no longer apply now, because right now you're saved. And it's just through his grace and mercy where he grants us that, where he can just say, you know, you get a chance to start over. Not everybody understands what that means. What that means is basically, it's a renewal. It's a rebirth. It's basically you know, a chance to start over. And who doesn't want a chance to start over? You know, when we're presented with a chance to start over, you know, we really just don't know, understand that that's a fresh start. And, you know, some people need many chances to start over. And those that do that, that's between them and God. As long as God knows it's still in your heart that this is what you want to do. This is a chance for you to start over. This is a chance for your renewal, that rejuvenation in your life, where you do get that chance to start over. And, a chance at rebirth is just something special. You know, and I know there's times that we all wish that, you know, we can go back in time. But that's not what the rebirth and the renewal is about. It's about for you getting a chance, a fresh start. A fresh start where he forgives you for your sins. You know, and when we go to where he said, he saved us through the washing of rebirth and the renewal of the Holy Spirit. So once you accept him and, you know, you're going to receive the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit is just basically a washing over you of that renewal to let you know that you just had, you know, you now have a second chance. You now get a chance to live your life through Christ. And you have that chance. You have that chance. And, you know, basically down the line, you know, we're going to get a test, and that's where you get your testimony. Where there are going to be people that's trying to lure you back. They're going to try to, and they're going to try their hardest. And it's not that they really mean to do that. This is where the devil comes in. This is where temptation comes in. This is where your renewal plays a part in the people around you. This is when you let them know that through God's grace and mercy, that you're free from the bondage of the old things of your past. That this is a renewal. That, yes, this is your retrograde, where people think that you're going backwards. But no, you're reaching back. You're reaching back. You're going back as a new creature. You're going back in your environment, and you're living your new life. And this is where, you know, you get the opportunity to do your testimony. Let everybody know, especially people that know you. They know that you've been through a lot of things. They know that the testimony that you're bringing forth, your actual life, is what actually happened and how you brought yourself out of the bondage of your sins. This is where you're free. This is where you're literally in the jail cell of your heart, where the jail cell is open once you accept Christ in your life. Once you accept that, you know, you're different. You're a new creature. And everybody says, well, how do you know about this? You know, God does many things in many different ways. God's here to fight your battle. He's here to do the heavy lifting. All you have to do is accept him in your life. And, you know, there are many things, you know, or many examples you can go into the Bible. And one of the things is when it seems that Israel didn't have an army. The army already defeated. And it seemed like, the enemy was just basically basking, you know, in their apparent victory over the Israelites. They mocked everybody they could. They let them know, what are you going to do, raise another army? And through the message that God had put forth, it says, yes, an army will be raised. Little did they know that God resurrected the army that they thought that they defeated. It was, you know, and this is stated in Ezekiel 37, you know, verses 1 through 13, where through 14, sorry, that where, you know, basically God said, okay, now I'm stepping in. I'm fighting your battles. And the reason why he did this is because it is truly a strong message that God does fight our battles, that we don't even have to lift a hand. All we have to do is believe wholeheartedly in him. So I'm going to go ahead and read Ezekiel 37, and we're going to stop at 14. Okay, so it says, the hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out of the spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, son of man, can these bones live? I said, Lord, you alone know. Then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Lord said to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as commanded, and as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the Lord says, come breath from the four winds and breathe into these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied, and as he commanded me, and breath entered them, and they came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says, my people. I am going to open your graves to bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and bring you up from them, I will put my spirit in you and you will live. And I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and I have done it, declared the Lord. And, you know, wow. I mean, we have to understand, you know, God is amazing. God can do anything. And when you hear something like that and you say, wow, he actually allowed an army of dead to come back to life to fight for Israel. Yes. Yes, he can do anything. And in that aspect, you know, we have people that put doubts, actual doubts in our minds. They alone and they alone can help us. And without any kind of standing of, you know, what it really means that you're saying to somebody, I alone, you have to unrefutably make a person understand that you can help them. How hard is it for somebody to help them and say, hey, you know what, whatever your troubles is, I'm going to help you. Without any proof. Like, for instance, you know, we have people, you know, on TV. They say, hey, we can get you out of debt in 3 to 4 months, you know, and we can fix your credit in this amount of time. Well, if they can do that, why can't they say, well, you can fix your credit instantly. We can do it right now, and you won't have any troubles in your mind, guaranteed. Well, they can't say that. Because they don't have the power. You know, what do they say to the people that when they do provide their services to and they can't help them, especially in a lot of the allotted amount of time that they say they're going to help somebody. What do they say to that customer? You're not satisfied, we're going to give you money back? Well, what does that do to the person that actually needed that help to fix their credit, to, you know, get a loan or to get, you know, some kind of help of where, you know, they came to those people under the premise that they were going to help them? You know, it's a shame that people put their faith in other people without proof that they can actually help you. And that's what, what shakes our belief, what shakes our faith. You know, story I read when I was a kid, and there was a guy that was basically disproving everything that happens in the Bible. And this kid was looking at him, and he says, "Oh, you don't believe me?" And he says, "Hey, kid, you know, at the time when Jesus parted the Red Sea, it was only 10 inches of water. And so, you know, when those Israelites fled the army, you know, they only had to wade through 10 inches of water." Wow, amazing. And the guy says, "Yeah, you didn't believe that happened at that time?" He says, "No. I'm going to tell you what's amazing, that God drowned that army with only 10 inches of water." And, you know, I was like, hey, there you go. That's the true understanding and the belief in how amazing God is and how, like, your faith and just the knowledge of knowing what God can do and how he works. And, you know, yes, that little kid, you know, had faith, and he knew that no matter what that guy said, that he knew that God was the prevailing God, that God is a God that will always have victory all the time over anything. And that's what the guarantee is. God has the victory, you know. And I know there's a song, you know, "I Got the Victory," something like that. And, you know, it is true. We have the victory. You know, Satan was defeated a long time ago. It's written. You know, he's already been defeated. He's already been cast in hell. The only thing the devil is trying to do is trying to bring souls in hell with him. He's trying to expand hell. And he's been already cast in hell. So right about now, we're up against it where it's time for the call of salvation. And the call of salvation, real quickly, I'm just going to go ahead to the call of salvation, because there are people that don't understand that, you know, we do get that chance that when we go into our rebirth or a retrograde, is that when we do go into that, we get a chance to become a new person, become a new creature. And basically, all we have to do is just let, you know, God know that, hey, we understand that he has done a lot for us. And that, yes, you know, this piece of mess that, you know, worked his way, you know, in whatever kind of way, back into the graces of God to where they found salvation. And that was through Jesus Christ. And when they found that salvation, they realized that God, you know, he sacrificed his only begotten son. And he sacrificed his only begotten son for our sins. And when he did that, you know, Jesus paid a mighty, mighty, mighty debt off for us. A debt that could never be repaid. And it was all for us. And, you know, when he did that for us. And, you know, the best way that we can show your appreciation and let him know that sacrifice, that you understand what a mighty price was paid, you can just let God know, and you say, "God, I'm just turning my life over. You know, I've been a mess. I've tried everything, and it just didn't work. But what does work, and what I see is working now, is putting your life in my hands, where I've accepted Jesus Christ I accepted him in my life. And I thank you for the gift that you've done, the gift that you've given me of salvation, the gift of giving me a chance to receive the Holy Ghost, a chance of renewal, a chance of rebirth. And, you know, a lot of people need that demonstration. You know, earlier how I was telling you a demonstration of how I was seeing retrograde emotion. Some people were young when they got baptized. Some people got baptized and didn't mean it or didn't really know, like, the feeling behind it. You can do that again. You get another chance. You can get a chance to feel what it is to be like to get baptized again. You can feel what it is to, you know, especially if you've backslidden and you broke your promise to God, but you want to get another chance. Just because you broke your promise to God doesn't mean you don't get another chance to go ahead and say, hey, you know, God, you know, I'm sorry. I know I said that, you know, this time that I was going to change things around. I was going to change my life. But this time, God, I mean it. And when you say that, you just let him know in your whole heart. God knows your heart. God knows. He's going to give you that second chance. Some people may take 3, 4, 5 times. But you know what? You know, God is a God of mercy. You know, mercy and grace. He'll grant you those chances. All you got to do is ask for it. And once you do that, you know, you're saved. You know, all you have to do is just let someone know. And you can let anybody know. You can let your mom know. You can just walk outside and open the door and just like, hey, I just turned my life over to Christ. He's Jesus. You know, once you do that, you know, you're saved. And you just enjoy your new life. That's all I can say. Just enjoy your new life. And enjoy your walk with Christ. You know, and the next thing I suggest you do is you find a Bible-believing, teaching, preaching sanctuary that will nurture you in the word of Christ, where it can guide you and nurture you, where you get a better understanding of Christ and of his ways and how you can spread the gospel, how you can help spread the gospel. And, you know, and I just, real quickly, I'm just going to go ahead and jump into the announcements, and then we're going to go to the conclusion of tonight's show. And just to let everybody know, I know I said it before, but this is part of the Purpose Kingdom Network. And we just like to thank all of our listeners, no matter where in the world you're listening to us, no matter if you're calling on phone or if you're listening to us online, we greatly appreciate that. And we're glad for you for supporting us and sharing with your friends and family members. And we're broadcasting live on www.blogtalkradio.com/PurposeKingdom. And anytime we do a live show, we have a call-in number, which is 319-527-6091. Anytime you would like to chime in or make a comment, you can just press the number 1, and we'll get you in you know, as soon as we can. Okay, and we also invite you to like us on Facebook at Purpose Kingdom. You can see our upcoming shows and advertisements. And from time to time, we do make announcements there. And so please feel free to share with your friends and family members. Also, we're on RadioCo.com, where you can hear some of our previous programs. And also, we do have a radio network, which is PKNRadio.com, where you can hear 24 hours of musical content. And from time to time, we do rebroadcast some of our shows. So feel free to, you know, go ahead and check out pknradio.com. Anytime you want to correspond with us here at Purpose Kingdom Network, you can correspond with us here at purposekingdomnet@gmail.com, where you can send your comments, questions, concerns. You can simply say hello or send a prayer request. We greatly appreciate that. And as always, we would love to hear from you, no matter if it's a praise report or if you just want to say hi. We greatly appreciate that. And we thank our listeners. Tomorrow is going to be Easter Sunday, and I do believe we're just going to take a small break, and then we'll rejoin you Monday evening at the 9 p.m. hour. And just stay tuned and just look at our various media pages We also have a page on LinkedIn, and not a page, but you can see some of our shows on LinkedIn, iTunes, and via iCloud, you just go on the purple icon and just hit Purpose Kingdom and subscribe to us, and that way you won't miss an episode of Purpose Kingdom Network. We will be making announcements and let you know who comes on Monday evening at the 9 p.m. hour. I do believe it's going to be the Real Rap, and that's going to be hosted by Evangelist Ty T.C. Nelson. But, you know, stick around and just check us out on our web pages and our various media platforms so you can see who comes on Monday. But we will be broadcasting Monday at 9 p.m. If God's will and God's blessing, we hope you join us. Okay, and with that, you know, we're going to go back into our conclusion of our show, and I'm going to wrap things up real quickly because I know it's been a while, and guess what? We all do want to get back to, our everyday norm, and I just want to put it out there and make sure you don't forget that, you know, God does give us messages, even though, you know, when we're on our way and we're saying things that he says, you know, to us, and he lets us know that he doesn't want us to, forget things. And just to, paraphrase, things. So in Psalms 119 verses 112 and 113, basically there was an infomercial, and it would basically say the catchphrase was "set it and forget it." I think that was the phrase, and I think it was like an air fryer or something like that. But it would be nice if we could just, spiritually, set in our heart and just forget it. And it's basically what someone that told me back in the past is like, if you pray about it, don't worry about it. And if you worry about it, pray about it. So basically, that phrase reminds me of, if you're praying about it, don't worry about it. And if you're worried about it, then go ahead and pray about it. And, it's basically saying set it and forget it. And then, in verse 13, where it's telling you to guard your heart. And the reason why it's telling you to guard your heart, because you can't always just, state your feelings. Because if you state your feelings out blankly to anybody, everybody's not going to give you the best advice. The best thing you can do is either pray about it or, and don't worry about it. If you're worried about it, then that's time for you to pray about it. And, and God doesn't want us flip-flopping. And that's also in verse 13. God doesn't want us going back and forth, worrying about things and then praying about it. Then you prayed over something, then you worry about it. He just wants you to, like the phrase said, set it and forget it. And, that's the phrase I just want to put in your head. And everybody, it's real joy coming back on and broadcasting. It's always, I enjoy doing this. And, God's will, God's blessing. I'll join you again in another 2 weeks. And with that being said, I just want to let you know that, make sure you take time out to love yourself. If you love yourself, you got no possible chance of loving anyone else. And just to bring things home, I want everybody to know that you always have another chance. You always have a chance, and there is no way that you can never recover from something. There's always a chance of recovering. There's always a chance, and all you have to do is just put your whole heart in, or if you earnestly want to recover from something, you believe in it, and you bring it to God, and you let him know that this is what you want done. Because there's a fear of no in your mind, and in the back of your mind and in your heart, doesn't mean that there is a no. You have to ask. You have to ask for it. And if you don't ask for it, like you said, a closed mouth won't be fed. And like I said, guys, I've had fun, and I hope you enjoy your Easter holiday. Hope everybody stays safe, and, as always, be protected We're not out of this COVID situation, so please be safe. Okay, with that, you know, God's will and God's blessing. I'll see you again.
Jesus led.
He raised me, I will not lose. He saved me, I will not lose. Set me free, I will not lose.
Never wanna see me down, I will not lose.